This week's story compares how Mexico and France are addressing sexual abuse, particularly but not limited to religious institutions. It highlights the legislative, judicial, and societal responses to abuse, emphasizing the differences in transparency, accountability, and the pursuit of justice for survivors. The story follows recent bills proposed, high-profile abuse cases, and the broader cultural and institutional factors shaping each country's approach. The story opens by referencing the International Day Against Gender-Based Violence, celebrated every year on November the 25th, noting that both France and Mexico use that day to introduce bills aimed at reducing gender-based violence. Italy is cited as a country that has taken a strong stance by defining feminicide as a specific crime with the highest penalty possible. Feminicide or femicide is the killing of a woman or girl specifically because of her gender. It refers to a case where the motive for the assassination is rooted in misogyny or discrimination and often involves gender-based violence such as domestic abuse or sexual violence. The French bill is comprehensive, with a focus on facilitating the reporting of sexual violence, a response to a national reckoning triggered by several high-profile abuse cases in France. It was designed to make it easier for victims to come forward, reflecting a societal shift toward acknowledging and addressing the scale of sexual violence there. In contrast, the Mexican reform is centered around two articles of the National Penal Code and lacks a similar, broader societal reckoning. The Mexican response is in that respect lagging. The justice system is less robust and less responsive to survivors' needs. To make matters worse, unlike the political will of the National Conferences of Catholic Bishops in the United States, Germany, and notably France, the Mexican bishops avoid as much as possible any meaningful acknowledgement of the scale of the crisis in their country. The story goes then to delve into specific cases shaping public discourse and policy in both France and Mexico. In France, testimonies of survivors such as Giselle Pellicot and the exposure of abuse in Catholic schools such as Our Lady of Bethlehem boosted legislative and societal change. French media and public institutions have played a significant role in bringing these issues to light, leading to a more transparent and victim-centered approach. In Mexico, on the other hand, the narrative, the attitudes, and the overall performance of both actors and institutions is different. The Catholic and the Luz del Mundo churches have been at the center of abuse scandals, but institutional responses have been inadequate. The story highlights Nicolás Aguilera Rivera's case. He was a Mexican priest sent to Los Angeles back in the 1980s. His victims there achieved a measure of justice, but only some Mexican victims were able to do so, and only through the courts in the United States, with Aguilar Rivera receiving a minimal sentence in Mexico. Something similar has happened with the Luz del Mundo Church leadership, particularly with Nason Joaquin Garcia, whose cases have been prosecuted only in the United States. His conviction in California and subsequent federal charges in New York are contrast with the lack of similar legal action in Mexico. The situation with the Catholic Church in Mexico is similar. The bishop's approach still follows the template set by Rome as to how to handle the legacy of Marcial Maciel, the founder of the Legion of Christ, and is not limited, of course, to Marcial Maciel. The approach was pretty much used for the first time, at least in large scale, in Mexico with Maciel, but remains for the most part the standard operation procedure when dealing with these cases. The Mexican Church, with Rome's blessing, has managed the crisis rather than confronting it, perpetuating the myth of Maciel as what we have called here at Los Angeles Press an abominable lone predator, rather than acknowledging systemic issues with the 2010 Apostolic Visitation sent to the Legion of Christ as the prime example of that approach. An apostolic visitation is church jargon for a probe carried by church officials. In this case, it was up to Pope Benedict XVI to send a group of bishops to carry the so-called visitation. After its conclusion, Rome issued official statements with carefully crafted language as to describe Maciel's actions as carried only by him, leaving key operatives close to Maciel, such as Fernando Vergés Alzaga, free from guilt as to become, as he is now, a cardinal, dismissing a path for genuine reform while stressing the myth-like notion of the lone predator. That is why it is necessary to look at how, even within the same Catholic Church, there is an abyss separating the proactive response coming from the French Catholic bishops at this time and that of the Mexican Catholic bishops. The French episcopate undertook systematic probes, such as the Sauvaire Report, and has seen bishops publicly acknowledging institutional failures. The Sauvaire Report is the most ambitious probe carried so far by the Catholic Church as to assess the scale of sexual abuse in their settings. It was commissioned by the French bishops and published back in October 2021. In the piece, you can find the links to the English version of the Sauvaire Report, so if you are interested, you can get it from there. That has been furthered by the French judiciary willingness to prosecute historical cases, fostering a culture of transparency and accountability, even for decades-old abuse. Even the alumni of Catholic schools, such as that of Our Lady of Verdun, have played a role providing heart-wrenching accounts about their own abuse. In Mexico, by contrast, there has been no equivalent to the Sauvaire Report. There has been no equivalent to the Australian Royal Commission, and neither the Mexican Bishops' Conference nor the Mexican government have commissioned systematic investigations as to the scale of sexual abuse in Mexico. Protecting predators in this sense has not been only the Mexican bishops' fault. The story compares two very similar cases in Marne, France, and Oaxaca, Mexico, involving public schools. Virginia Yescas, a professor who uncovered abuse in a college in Oaxaca, was subsequently fired. Her case illustrates the risks faced by whistleblowers in Mexico. On the other side of the Atlantic, Marie-Pierre Jacquard, the French professor, now supports the efforts of students in other schools to come forward with their cases of abuse. The story highlights in this sense the absence of a national reckoning in Mexico, shaping a fractured, balkanized advocacy landscape with the victim groups unable to build the critical mass needed to drive legislative change. The piece goes on to examine the limitations of Mexican law regarding sexual abuse. While the recent bill defines abuse more precisely and increased penalties, there are significant gaps, particularly around reparations and reporting mechanisms. The Supreme Court's recent rejection of a habeas corpus petition related to victim compensation is cited as evidence of the challenges survivors face in seeking justice and reparations in Mexico. The piece also raises concerns about other gaps. Mexican law requires, as one of many possible examples, immediate reporting of abuse, but does not specify specific consequences for individuals or institutions failing to do that immediate report. This ambiguity undermines enforcement and accountability. By the end of the piece, the story goes to a case from the U.S.-Mexico border involving the Diocese of Piedras Negras in Coahuila and Laredo in Texas, and the handling of an abuse case involving priest Luis Efraín Mares Muñoz. Mares Muñoz's case contrasts with French practices. While the Mexican Diocese of Piedras Negras showed some transparency, the lack of public disclosure and the unclear status of Mares Muñoz highlights ongoing challenges. The piece then discusses other recent developments in the Catholic Church in both Mexico and Spain. Both the Mexican Archdiocese of Tijuana and the Spanish Diocese of Cádiz, where Bishop Sornosa Boy was recently accused of so-called historic abuse dating back to the 1990s, are examples of how the Vatican manages crisis, often prioritizing institutional stability over transparency and accountability. The appointment of apostolic administrators in both the diocese and not full bishops is not merely a bureaucratic decision, but reflects deeper issues within the church approach as to how to manage abuse. This is more relevant in the case of Tijuana, which is one of many Mexican dioceses, 4 in each 10, unwilling to implement Pope Francis' 2019 instruction to set commissions for abuse prevention. The piece concludes by emphasizing the need for true reform in Mexico. It argues that the legislative changes, while necessary, are insufficient on their own without a broader cultural and institutional shift towards transparency, accountability, and support for survivors. The piece underscores the relevance of systematic investigations, public acknowledgement of abuse, and the role of civil society in driving change. Without these elements, Mexico will continue to lag behind in addressing sexual abuse, religious or otherwise. thank you very much. I am Rodolfo Soriano Núñez. You can find me in Facebook, what used to be Twitter, and Blue Sky as RSNUNEC, or as Rodolfo Soriano Núñez. Very easy to find me. Many